And the pastor's doing better. Keep on praying for everybody, okay? All right, this morning we're going to read the scripture reading for today. It's from Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7. Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and the spring of water."
Thank you, Dina. That was wonderful. How many of you are happy to be in the house of the Lord? Would you say amen to that? Amen. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord. Hold your Bible up and tell the Lord, "This is your word. I believe it with all my heart." We are called to preach a special message, and we will do it by God's grace. Amen. What I'm going to share today, I believe, is one of the most important messages I have preached since I have come. I'm sitting in a chair still because I'm trying to recuperate a little bit with my leg. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I'm getting better. Amen? I'm getting better. What we're going to talk about is 10 DNA markers of God's end time people. You notice I did not say God's end time church, because right now God has people in every walk of life. In every church in this world, God has people. This is his end time message, and we will be his end time people. I have never found a church that comes as close to serving Jesus Christ and honors the truth of God like the Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's why I've been a minister for over 50 years. I thank the Lord for that. And I could not have done it without Christine, you know. She's my anchor. Jesus first, but she's my anchor. Let me make a few comments here. This is a statement that is drawn from Prophets and Kings. The present is a time of overwhelming interest to all living rulers and statesmen, men who occupy positions of trust and authority. Thinking men and women of all classes have their attention fixed upon the events taking place about us. They are watching the relations that exist among the nations. They observe the intensity that is taking possession of every earthly element, and they recognize that something great and decisive is about to take place, that the world is on the verge of a stupendous crisis. I want to share something with you before we journey in here. I receive Epic Magazine, and I want you to listen to this. It's written by Jeffrey Tucker, and some of these principles that you know, I will move quickly through them. Others, I want to take time this morning. You're not going anywhere, are you? All right. Praise the Lord. Turn your attention to France right now. Listen to this. In the dead of night, a new law slipped through the General Assembly that would make it a crime to criticize Myrna shots. They call it the Pfizer law. It calls for fines of up to 445,000 euros and 3 years in prison for criticizing shots. You say, well, that's France. Well, there's a man named... Let me get his name here for you here. Really interesting. His name is Mann. Mann. That's his last name. And Michael Mann, professor at the University of Pennsylvania. He had sued a writer, listen, for the Competitive Enterprise Institute for taking issue with Mann's climate change model, the so-called hockey stick in particular. This is not my area of specialization, writes Tucker. But I have no doubt that mainstream climate science should be subject to vigorous criticism. If the COVID era has taught us anything, it is that scientific consensus can be outrageously wrong and needs a check that comes in the form of writing. Well, Dr. Mann filed a defamation lawsuit, and it had been waiting for 10 years, and listen to this. Just recently, the District of Columbia Court, after a decade of litigation, is hearing it. And essentially, listen to this now. The one defendant, Rand Simberg, had been told to pay $1,000. The verdict was guilty. Listen to this. Mark Stein, $1 million, simply because they said they did not believe everything that was being written about climate control or Pfizer shots. So the consensus of the world politically is where, in fact, the article says, from censorship to criminalizing dissent. Seventh-day Adventists room down the front row of this. This is coming like a storm, my dear brothers and sisters. The Lord says, lift up the trumpet, loud let it sing, I'm coming again. Would you say amen to that? Amen. All right, here's the identifying marks I want to go through, some more quickly than others. Revelation 14:6, and I saw an angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell upon the earth to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The first identifying mark you saw is the everlasting gospel. Let me say something to you. The gospel has to do, if you'll bear with me, with three issues. It delivers from the penalty of sin. Would you say amen to that? He had paid the penalty. Number two, it gives us victory over the power of sin. If the gospel does not change your life, you have never understood the gospel. And number three, the gospel delivers us from the presence of sin. You're covered by the blood. He gives you victory in your life, and he delivers you from temptation. Isn't that the Lord's prayer? I call it the mud puddle model. Let me stand if I can, not lose my balance. Daisy, our golden retriever, loves mud puddles. I mean, she loves them. When we were in Oregon, she would intentionally seek out those spring mud puddles and get herself so dirty that when she came in, Christine had to wash her off with a word, stay away from the mud puddles. What do you think she did? Right back to the mud puddles. But now, she's away from the mud puddles entirely. It's dry. Three things God does. He cleans the mud off me. Amen. He takes my desire for mud puddles away. Glorification. Number three, one day soon, he's going to deliver me from a world full of mud puddles. Ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Number two, they have a worldwide proclamation. What do I mean by that? Well, here's the scripture again. And I saw the angel flying in the midst of heaven, follow me now, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto those that dwell upon the earth, not just Phoenix, Arizona, or Cottonwood, or Prescott, or Sedona, but to every nation, kindred, tongue, and what? People. The little Baptist church on the corner is not the church. Even the Church of Christ, or Christ Church of the Valley, as huge as it is. How many of you have ever heard of it? It is huge. Probably 10,000, 15,000 people. In fact, they have two or three campuses. That's not the church. This church, in order to be a DNA marker of God's people, is in every nation in the world, every tribe in the world, and every dialect on this planet. And by the way, even the water people of Saigon and Thailand have a phone. So when this gospel goes, it's going to go fast. If you're thinking some great thing's going to happen and you have all the time in the world, oh, have you missed this, my friend? We are at the end of time. At the end of time. Revelation 1, verse 17. Oh, I went too far. I'm sorry. Let's back her up one. I don't have that scripture. Here it is. And when I saw him, I fell at his... No, I'm sorry. You're right. I'm number three. They call upon people to put God first. Hold your hand up. Just like this. Are you with me? Hold your hand up like this. How do you put God, F-I-R-S-T, first in your life? He's first in your finances. If I was to have you exchange your wallet with your neighbor here this morning, and we took up an offering, would you give? Oh, sure you would. It's not your wallet. Finances. A tenth of what you own belongs to God. Say amen to that. Interest. F-I. Interest. All the interest in your life. If you're going home and you're watching television 99% of the day, your interests are not on Jesus Christ. What are your interests? Our relationships. What kind of people do you hang around with? Who are those you love to be with? Ask the scheduling of your time. Do you get up and spend time with Jesus? Or you say, you don't understand. I'm working 50 hours a week. I get up at 6. I'm gone until 6 at night. Well, surely sometime in that day, you can bow your head and say, sweet, sweet Jesus, balm of Gilead, lily of the valley, come into my heart. Can you do that? Do you have time for Jesus? And the last, T, trust the Lord. When you think of your life, don't always look at the hole that you're facing. Look at the one who's going to pull you out of the hole. We're so negative sometimes in things, dear friends. We think that God's against us, and we go on and on in our life, and we get up in the morning and we say, oh, Lord, you know I'm a failure. I make mistakes. And you go on and on and on, demeaning yourself, when in fact the Bible says you're a chosen priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar treasure. You belong to me. You do not belong to yourself. So tell the Lord, I am yours. I belong to you. Oh, I'm special. Say it with me. I'm special. I talked to a girl one day. 17 years old in church in South Salem. I was walking out. She was visiting. I cannot even remember her name. And she came by. She said, good message, with her head down. And I asked her if God inspired her. Well, she said, you know, I've had a terrible week. And she went on and on. And then I told her, you cannot face the future when you're stuck because of bumps. Every hole in the road is going to happen. Problems are going to take place. I wonder if we had more faith in God, if indeed we could do what Jesus said. The rocks would even cry out. We would see miracles we have never dreamed of. Would you say amen to that? But most of the time, we find ourselves living in this old world. At least some do. Blaming themselves, saying, I'm not pretty. I'll never amount to anything. I don't have a good job. I know our marriage is not great. I'm going to be fired. And on and on and on. You know what happens? As a man thinketh in his heart, what happens? So he is. You want to get fired? Okay, wait around. Yeah, you'll get fired. Huh. I love this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet to worship him. Fear not. You remember I shared with you, my dear friends, that fear paralyzes faith. Fear tolerated equals faith contaminated. And if you walk around with nothing but fear in your life, you will never arise to the end time people of God. Would you agree? Number four, by the way, and God spoke all these words saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. I'm first in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen, girls. Thank you, Jesus. There's no problem you cannot handle. But as a means of a sidebar, step in my shoes for the last 8 months since I've been here. I can tell you the enemy's wrath. But you know something? I'm not going anywhere, neither are you. Amen. That means you can't go, Dennis. I love you too much. And I love him. I mean that. All right, number four, they worship him as creator. I love what let me back up here. I want you to catch this text. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. I love that. You and I were created in the image of God. You say, well, I don't feel like I'm in the image of God. You know why? You're looking at yourself rather than looking at Jesus. He is a perfect image of God. Say amen. Oh, what a Savior. What a Savior. We live, move, and have our being. Revelation 14:7. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of judgment come, and worship him that made the heavens, the earth, the sea, and what? Springs of waters. By the way, you didn't make yourself. Scripture tells us we are fearfully and wonderfully made. I remember when I was 17 looking in the mirror and I said, I don't like me. How many of you, my dear friends, grew up in a family where your clothes at best were holy? You remember those days? And they weren't in, right? Mama would darn my pants, and it still had a big hole. And you go to school, and kids would look at you, and you know what I would do? I was in eighth grade, and I could smell the smell of new Levi's. How many of you know what that's like? Oh, these are brand new pants. And I was near this young boy, and I said, you're going to laugh at me. Can I just touch your Levi's? He said, sure. And I touched them. You know, I said to myself, that's what they're like when they're new. Oh, my. Number five, they announce the time of God's judgment. Back to Revelation 14:7, we read, I'm going to do it this way. Well, here we go. I want you to catch the last part of this scripture. Fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him that made heaven, earth, and what? That's a direct quote, almost direct, from Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. Except Exodus chapter 20, verse 11 says, worship him that made heaven, the earth, and the sea, and all that is in them. Well, why did John the Revelator change all that is in them in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11 to the seas, springs of waters? I'll tell you why. Because the last message is a judgment hour, as it was in the days of what? Noah. Shall it be at the end? As it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be at the end. And here we are. want you to see these scriptures. Genesis 7:11. Here we are. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up and the windows of heaven were opened. Now listen to Genesis chapter 8 and verse 2. The fountains of the deep in the windows of heaven were stopped and the rain from heaven was restrained. Fountains of the deep worshiped him that made heavens, the earth, and the sea. And the fountains of deep. Ah, that's interesting. Number 7. The 7th DNA. 6th DNA, I'm sorry. Calls for separation from false systems of worship. What I'm going to say to you now, I pray you will accept with love. There are Baptist brothers and sisters who really love Jesus. Raise your hand. They will be in the kingdom. There are Seventh-day Adventists, pardon me for saying this, who do not put Jesus first, have no time for him, are mixing with Babylon, and the wine is intoxicating. They will not be in heaven. We are here, oh, my brothers and sisters, if you could catch this. A shaking is coming. Say the word shaking. And the next event, as I study the Word of God, is the second coming of the Holy Spirit. And it is combined with the shaking of the church. And when the church is shaken, and those leave, those few who are left, and they're going to be few, the majority are going to leave us. Imagine the majority of our church not being there. What's going to happen then is this small group are going to say to God's people, come out of her, my people. Separate from them. Be ye not partakers of the wine of Babylon. Oh my. Another angel followed saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of her fornication. The wine of her fornication. And I heard another angel, another voice from heaven saying, say it with me. Come out of her, whose people? My people. Lest you share in their sins and lest you receive of her plagues. Oh, my brothers and sisters, Jesus is coming. And he's coming soon. Say soon. And you know, I've seen people that have never made a decision for Jesus, and it wasn't long after they lost their life. God gives you and me today. This is only promised now. Now you have it, but we're a breath away from eternity. Separate from false systems. Here are a few of Babylon's doctrines. I said, well, I know it's a universal. This message is 10 DNA of God's people. Here are a few. The dead know more than, the dead know more than the living. Did you catch that? If you're not, when you die, you go to heaven, you can see it all. They know more than the living. Sunday worship. Pastor said to me one day, it wasn't long ago, it was in Oregon. And I forget, I think I was at Walmart. Be careful saying hello to everybody because sometime you'll meet somebody who knows what they know. And I met this pastor. He said, I'm a minister. I said, oh, you are? I said, I'm just a worker for God. And then I began to talk to him. Well, we believe Sunday's sacred, I said. There's only you and me here in Walmart. Tell me from Scripture where you believe that's true. Where in Scripture does the Bible say that Sunday's sacred? Well, he said, we keep it because Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. I said, my brother, you haven't read Romans chapter 6. Baptism signifies the resurrection. He said, I don't want to talk to you anymore. He said, what faith are you anyway, by the way? I said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. He said, I knew it. Well, at least he knew, right? I'm at the therapy clinic up here by a place where they sell all kinds of tools. I'm trying to remember the name. It's no, not that one. What's the other? Huh? Too many voices. Say it again. No? Harbor Freight. Yeah. And I went, and right by there is a clinic for physical therapy. Well, I went to that clinic, and I met this girl named Lily, 23 years old. Oh, what a sweet gal. And she's working on my back, and I'm talking to her about Jesus. And I'm thinking to myself, by the little twist of what she was saying, she's not a Baptist, she's not a Lutheran, she's not non-denominational. This girl is a Jehovah's Witness. Well, guess what? I asked her, are you a witness, Jehovah's Witness? Yes. I have been all my life. And then I began to think, how can I approach this gal with the truth of God? You pray for me. I'm going back again. Jesus is coming. We better tell people. Would you say amen? Ah, they call for loyalty to God. Number 7, Revelation 14 again. It's a little stubborn today. Maybe I'm the one that's stubborn. Ah, here we, Revelation 14, 7. Worship him who made. Loyalty to God. Worship him who made. Don't worship the maid, worship him who made. And then John 4, this is so good. The woman at the well. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers, the what? True worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth. It's not enough to know the truth. You need the Holy Spirit here in your life. Number 8, you keep the commandments of God. Well, that's obvious. That's what the Bible says. John 14, 15, the Bible says what? You all know it. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments. In Revelation 14, 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep, who what? Keep the commandments of God. I love that. I love that. Listen to this. Blessed are those, Revelation 22, 14, who do, who keep his commandments, that they may have a right. I have a right to be here by the blood of Jesus. I have been faithful to Jesus. Is there anything between you and your Lord? Anything at all? You should leave it today, right here. You may not have another day. You need to leave it now. All to him I surrender. Number 9, we're winding down, saints. Oh, don't go too far. They have the faith of Jesus. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her seed who keep the commandments of God and have what? Testimony of Jesus. If you have your Bible, turn to John chapter 3 just for a moment, please. John, the 3rd chapter. Oh, what a loving God. My dear saints, would you say amen to that? Oh, what a loving Father. John 3, beginning there, and 31. He who comes from above is above all. He who is of the earth is earthly and speaks of the earth. He who comes from heaven is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he, what? Testifies, and no one receives his testimony. He who has received his testimony has certified that God is true. What's the testimony of Jesus? His own testimony. Did you see that? Did you know that Ellen White never used Revelation 12, 17 to apply to herself? But in the secondary sense, turn to Revelation chapter 1. I want to show you something. Or don't leave thinking, he doesn't believe in Sister White. You better come. I'm on next week. Am I up next week? Oh, you don't want to come. I'm talking about Ellen White, the gift of prophecy. Listen to this now. Revelation chapter 1. Oh, I love the Bible. You love the Bible? Oh, my. Stop your ears from everything you hear if it does not conform to this word. Revelation chapter 1. Listen carefully, and you're going to catch the spirit of prophecy here. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave him to show his servants, which must shortly take place, and he sent and signified it by his angel to the servant John, to his servant Ellen White. It's a prophetic gift. Is it the testimony of Jesus? She never claimed it was, but the gift of prophecy is the foundation of the testimony of Jesus. How do I know? What did the prophet do, John the Revelator, who bore witness to the word of God and the testimony of Jesus to all things that he saw? You can't have 2,000 dreams and visions without seeing something that applies to this world. You agree, don't you? Have the faith of Jesus. In fact, Revelation 14, 12, as Brother Hans Lerondell used to say, Brother Rocky, he was Dutch, and he would say, Brother Rocky. Revelation 14, 12 is a comment, commentary on Revelation 12, 17. Here's the patience of saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have what? Faith of Jesus. I have fought a good fight, said Paul. I have finished the race, I've kept the faith. Oh, my. Oh, my, my, my. Listen to this. The great work of the gospel is not to close with less manifestation of the power of God than marked its opening. The prophecies which are fulfilled or were fulfilled in the outpouring of the former rain at the opening of the gospel are again to be fulfilled in what? In the latter rain at his close. Servants of God with their faces lighted up and shining with holy consecration will hasten from place to place to proclaim the message from heaven. Oh, listen, my brothers and sisters. Great Controversy, page 6, 11, and 12, as we read the latter part of it. We're almost done. My message, be prepared. I want to talk to your heart. By thousands of voices all over the earth, the warning will be given. Miracle, what? Miracles will be wrought. I thought Pentecostalism talks of miracles. Miracles will be wrought. The sick will be healed, and signs and wonders will follow who? The believers. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, we're on the verge of something happening. Say amen. And number 10, they await the second coming of Jesus with patience. With patience. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, have the faith of Jesus. Here is the patience, what? Of the saints. I want to thank Christine and my brother Walt for helping me with this slide. Maybe I can have the Lord help me with this. Matthew chapter 24, 12 through 14. Listen, don't miss this. You can go home after this. Don't miss this. And because lawlessness will abound. Is that now? Is that today? Say it with me. Has lawlessness abounded? When you lose the power of freedom in your life, my brothers and sisters, you are standing on the threshold of eternity. You are looking at the coming of Jesus. Oh, my. But he who endures till the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, a witness to all nations, and then the end shall come. A friend of mine who is the head of Adventist Foreign Mission, actually Frontier Mission. He said something peculiar is happening in the Muslim countries. I talked to you a little bit about this. Muslim women and men, I just heard it this week again, are having visions and dreams of a man on a white horse. And this man on the white horse doesn't talk about truth. He's actually showing these Muslim women all about revelation. He's taking them through this. You think God's depending on you and me? He wants us. Oh, my precious people. He wants you. He loves you. Amen? Hold your hand and say, I love you, Jesus. He loves you. He wants you. But right now, where we cannot go, he is going. I've read of so many miracles you wouldn't even believe, of dead being raised. You wouldn't believe that either. You know what I do? I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I pray, oh, give me more faith, God. Give me more faith. Keep the enemy from debilitating me. Keep me more faith. Help me to be determined to be the pastor and stay the pastor of Cottonwood Seventh-day Adventist Church. I'm not leaving. I thank God for that. I'm not going to. Now listen, it's not just talking about a church. I'm talking about those walking with God, worshiping God, witnessing of God. Watching is used 4 times in Mark chapter 13. Jesus said, and I say again to you, watch, watch, watch. Some things happened this week I can't tell you about. But these are difficult times for people. How many of you are going through a difficult time right now? A real difficult time. I want you to join me here. I want to talk on your behalf. If you had a difficult time, please come up front. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. You're not going to hurt anybody. Everybody here is on firm ground. Amen? Amen. Amen. If you're here and you have never really made a decision to be a part of God's last day movement,
excuse me, Jack.
Would you stand? Would you come up here? Are you bold enough to do that? I will. I'm going to come. I want to give my heart completely to Jesus today. Is there anyone like that here? Maybe we should close our eyes. Close your eyes a minute. Is there anyone here who would like to rededicate their life or give their life to Jesus today? Amen. Back here. Amen. Amen here. Anyone else? Now I want to invite those who believe we're living at the end of time. Join me right here. These are serious times. Stand up, please, and jump. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for the latter rain for you. I want to pray that God will give you conviction to stand up. Please come up front. I know I invite you. You know what Ellen White said? We should have an appeal every time we preach. And I have to. The Holy Spirit will not let me rest, my brothers and sisters. I love you, and I have to appeal to you to join me. Anyone else out there, let's all stand. Let's all stand. We're going to have a closing hymn soon. I want to invite anyone else. Please join me. If there's something in your life that you'd like to rededicate to Christ, I invite you to come up front. Please join us. You want to rededicate your life and tell Jesus. Evangelism's coming, great controversy's going out. And if you think you're going through hell now, you better hold on to your seatbelt.
Hang on, brother.
Hang on. It's going to be a rough ride.
Hang on to the Lord Jesus.
Oh, my. But you love Jesus, don't you? Turn to the person beside you and say, I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you love Jesus. Would you do that? I'm glad you love Jesus, Ray, Wes. And I love you because of the gospel. Would you say that to one another? I want you to raise your hand. One last thing, we're going to close. I believe this church here in Cottonwood is special. When you raise your hand to that, this church is special. Say amen to that. And I'm not leaving the church. I'm not going to stay home and watch the service on what do they call it?
Online.
Yeah, yeah, internet or whatever. Yeah, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to be present. Why? Why? Because a miracle may happen and I'll miss it. Ah, let's bow our heads. Father God, oh, Father God, oh, Father. Oh, we need you, Lord, in our lives. How many times we walk away and we do our own thing.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, Lord, you rescued us. You rescue the perishing. Care for the dying. Well, Lord, some of us are having a terrible time. Send, I pray, right now, the power of the Spirit of God. Sweet Holy Spirit, take our lives, mold them, change them, make them like Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray, and the whole church said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you for coming today.